Man, it's so good to have all of you here today. Amen. Amen. Julle lyk sommer prachtig saam. Mats. Prys die Here. Well, after I've shared this word, I'm not too sure you're going to be excited with me, but I still love you. I'm preaching to myself here. But thank you, Jesus. And welcome to everybody that's watching by way of media as well. We just want to welcome everybody. So we're excited about tonight, excited about what God is doing here to us. But yeah, praise the Lord. I can't wait. Let's just get straight into the word tonight, and we have a baptism service as well. First time in about 3 years since our water shortage. Yeah, it's amazing how that baptism bath became a thing that held bottles of water so we could just survive. Tonight we're going to bury people again. Isn't that lekker? Man, I'm excited about it. So praise God, we just get straight into the word tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about something which is really exciting, because it's quite amazing. I've got a mate of mine, I mentor him, and we chat and so on, and he's been doing a study on this, and he said to me, you won't believe that I found this, and I'm busy reading this up, and I sent him our picture, which we put on our Facebook page, to say what I'm preaching on. All his response was W-O-W, and you know, you can say that backwards too. It's actually amazing. Wow. And what was so amazing is the way in which God led me to share, to put this together. And who knows, God hates pride. If you don't know that yet, hopefully you'll learn that tonight. Trotsheid. If you want to upset God, walk around with pride. And you see, unfortunately, all of us have a little bit of that, a lot of it sometimes, in our own lives. So I want to talk to you about pride versus humility. You see, our real aim must be to grow in humility. Because by nature, naturally, we're not like that. And by nature, we're naturally prideful people. Ekka, myself, and so on. And humility steps off that platform. And that's why it's so important to know that. This is what somebody once said, and this is so true. Listen to this. Humility and self-denial are always admired, but seldom practiced. Isn't that so true? When somebody's walking in humility, we know what humility looks like, don't we? Who knows? When you've seen somebody, you can say, yes, you know, such a humble oak. She's such a humble lady. Have you said that about somebody sometime? Amen. Only a few of you. Do you only check pride people? When was the last time you saw a humble oak? When you looked in the mirror. But it's like that. You can see when somebody's like humble in the office, in the work, in the sport, wherever it is, just the person's demeanor. We understand that thing because we know what it's like. Yes, the issue is we seldom want to practice it, because you see, that's the problem with pride. We don't think we need to be humble because we think we're humble enough. Amen. Yeah, this is the truth. You see, James says this, and it makes it quite clear. James 4 verse 10, just two words. He says, humble who? Yourselves. God forbid that He comes and humbles us. Because if God's going to humble you, you've got serious problems in your life. So He says, humble yourselves. And it goes on to say, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. But that is, humility is something that you and I do. It's an action and it's an attitude from our sides. And He makes it quite clear. Because like we spoke last week, I think it was Ephesians 4 verse 1, He says, walk worthy of the calling that Christ has called you to. Walk worthy. So what I want to say is the true test of a worthy life, and please hear this, it's not found in this, in possessions, in power, in position, or prestige. The worthy life is not found in those things. Look at me, look what I've got, look at my position. We walk around. And these are the things that naturally destroy us and make us so proudful. Possessions, power, positions, prestige. Because it's discovered in this, and it sort of finds itself, yeah, in the center of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? It says it's discovered in goodness, in humility, in service, in character. These are the qualities that reflect a godly life. You know, Colossians 3, I don't think it's up there. I'm not sure if I had it put up there. But Colossians 3, verse 12, just look at what he says here. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Do you know that you're holy and dearly loved? Do you know that? God loves you tonight. He says, then as people of God, holy and dearly loved, listen what he says. Clothe yourselves, trek on, wees bekleed met. Clothe yourself with this, with kindness, compassion, and listen to the word, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with humility. Die kleed wat God wil hê, ons moet dra, that cloak must be a cloak of humility. God wants us to wear that cloak of humility. Because, you know, just listen to this, anger gets people into trouble, but pride keeps them there. Think about that a little bit. That's the thing about life. Because stay humble or you're going to stumble. I love that. If you're filled with pride, you will slide. It's a fact. It's the truth. That's the thing about pride. That's why I'm talking about it tonight. Because humility must be, you must clothe yourself with it. It must be our greatest desire. We must be working on it. We must be identifying prideful stuff in our life. And we need to be changing those things. It's so wonderful to work with somebody who has a humble heart. That's why God says it. And we'll read that scripture just now, but I'll say it again. Right now, God is opposed to the proud, but he shows himself graciously to the humble. He's opposed to the proud people. So when Paul's writing to the church, or he's writing to Timothy about the end times, and we kind of believe, and we seem to be moving very rapidly into the end times. And what he says is, in the end times, not in the middle times or the beginning times. Listen, what times? The end times. And he says, mark this, he says, in the end times. This is what's going to happen. So we're going to see more of this stuff very evidently. So if the world and as natural people, and he's talking to the church here, proud people in the church, then he says these words, and he's talking to the church here. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2 says, for people will love themselves, only themselves, and their money. And listen what they will be. They will be proud and boastful and sneering at God. So in the end times, be assured of this, that pride is going to be a problem. Amen? That's exactly what he's saying. That's why tonight I'm talking about pride versus humility. So the question is, what is pride? Now I could spend the whole evening trying to dissect it, but I've just summarized it like this. What is pride? The English word for pride has two meanings. The first one is the spirit of conceit, which is a negative quality. The spirit of conceit. What does conceit mean? And for the Afrikaans works, we'll explain it. Conceit is conceit in Afrikaans work. Ek weet nie wat dit is nie. The spirit of conceit means this: excessive pride in oneself. Having a high opinion of one's qualities. It means superiority, believing you're better, smarter, or more important than other people. And you see, you don't walk around thinking, I'm better than you. But you see, in our actions we do. We place people in positions in our lives without even knowing that. You know, you do that. We do those sort of things. We have a superiority. Ek weet iets. When you look at an oak and you skim, he's like a number three Christian, because you've like judged him now, you're prideful. And you think you're about a number six, so you must be much better than him. Because I'm like a number six already. Hey, how prideful is that? Hey? So that's it. And then the other one is the spirit of, and this is a positive quality when it comes to pride, a spirit of pleasing, satisfaction, a proper self-worth. In other words, if your son does something good, or your daughter does something good, you say, I'm so proud of you. That's a positiveness, and that's what that word means. So when we look at the attitude of pride, this is what it is. It's unteachable. Do you want to know if you're prideful? How teachable are you? If somebody comes and speaks to you or brings correction, how teachable are you? Because I can tell you, die okay, St. Thomas pride, capital P, and he rises up like the devil himself when somebody comes and chirps you about something. Just check your heart and you'll know where there's pride. So in other words, it's unteachable. It's unwilling to submit. Because submission is the greatest test of humility. When you can submit, that is one of the highest standards of real humility. And the attitude of pride is, I've arrived. I've got it all together. I'm okay. I'm doing well. And you know what's so wonderful in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You know what the Bible says about pride? It says love is not proud. Isn't that fantastic? Love is not proud. So in other words, if I'm walking in pride, I'm not walking in love. It's impossible to walk in love if you're not walking, if you're walking in pride. It's impossible. The Greek word for pride is nearly always used in the negative sense when you read the Word of God. Talking about arrogant, proud, appearing above others. So that really just sums up what is pride. What is humility then? Also has two meanings to it, two positive and a negative meaning. It's a spirit of respectfulness, humility, considerate, meekness, and submissive, which is a positive quality in people. And the negative quality is the spirit of insignificance, inferiority, the vloermat story. Oh, ek is so nederig, die mense loop oor my, en dit maak nie saak nie. Can I just say to you this? Meekness is not weakness. People don't walk over you, I'm so humble over you. I'm going to be humble this week. And they can tell me what they want to, and they can walk all over me, and they can do stuff to me. You must also rise up, but not in pride, amen. Because standing up in humility also has a place, amen. We need to understand that. So when the Bible in the New Testament, when we look at the New Testament, nearly always uses the word humility in a positive sense, in the way we explained it. Jesus himself saying this, and this is so amazing, and I've always wondered about the scripture. He says, therefore, anyone, and listen to this, who humbles himself, again, humbles who? Himself. Who humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So I always thought to myself, a child humbles himself. You know, sometimes when I look at children, yes, I tell you, they can be quite little ones. They can be quite arrogant, can't they? I mean, not your kids. We know kids like that. And they can be funny. But just think about it. Their simplisticness. You'll somewhat jump off the stage over here, and they will just jump into your arms without even thinking. There's just this trust. There's just this... this purity. They haven't learned to be measuring themselves with people and possessions and power and this is me. And you see what Jesus is saying here? We need to be like a child in the simplistics of the way we live. That's why Jesus said that. So I want to use six things tonight to just compare. And I want to do a comparison so we can get a good idea of pride versus humility. And that is the world's perspective of pride, the world we live in. And unfortunately, that kind of attitude is in naturally in us. And so we get saved, and we should be changing. And many times we don't change, or our change is very slow. And so we have this stuff in our lives, and we think like this too. So just listen to this. The world's perspective of pride says this: never admit a weakness. Have you ever heard that one before? The world says that. Never admit you have a weakness. Always gooi strong. Always gooi voor. You know, gee voor. I'm strong, man. Me time, right now, you're caving in and you're falling apart. But you say, nah, I'm strong, man. Don't worry about me. Nah. Everything's all right. But the spiritual heart of humility says, delight in your weakness. Delight in your weakness. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10 says, for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased. Yes, and then listen to this. And I take pleasure in my infirmities, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in perplexities, in distress, because when I'm weak in human strength, then I'm truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Delight in your weakness. You can delight in your weakness. That is a sign of humility. You don't have to fake it until you make it. Hallelujah. You see, never admit weakness. That's what pride does. Never admit weakness. It's a very strong problem with men. Amen, ladies. It's amazing. I only heard men say yes. You had an opportunity now to just, yes. But I didn't, yes, I didn't hear it. I heard the money, yes. But if you're honest, humble men here with us, praise God. But that's the problem, you see. And the second one, the world's perception of pride is this. Hold on to your rights. Hey? Hold on to... Listen, we sit in a world right now that's falling apart. Why? Because people have rights. I have rights. Isn't that so? We live in it. The women have rights now. Yeah, they've always had rights. Yes, man, that wasn't nice now. Eh? Forgive me on television. You know what I mean? We live in a woman's liberation world. We have rights. You know, we need to be nice to the... Yes, I'm really just going to bail right out of that one now. I'm going to... But you do understand what I mean. Hold on to your rights. I mean, people... That's our world. We have rights and we will do this. And people, the world's burning and falling apart because of this story here. Listen, so I'm bailing out of here. Let's go. The spiritual heart of humility says this: give up your personal rights. Can you imagine, just for one moment, think about this. If tomorrow morning we all woke up and we just gave up our rights, the whole world. Every political party, they didn't want to be the on top of the pile or the main mana. They just said, you know what, let us just all get on with one another now. What a different world we'd live in overnight, eh? But unfortunately, pride is the enemy, because Satan himself went up into heaven and he said to God, hey, this is it. He got prideful and he said, no, man, I can be just like you. And 2/3 of the angels got kicked out of there. Why? Because of one word, pride. God hates pride. Let me tell you. The Bible says, I'll show you scripture. But that's the truth. Give up your personal rights. Now, please listen to this, because as children of God, here's the word. Philippians 2 verse 5-8 says, let the same attitude and purpose and what? Humble mind be in you. As it was in who? As it was in Jesus. Let him be your example of what? Humility. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think equality with God was a thing to eagerly be grasped or retained. Like Paul is saying, Jesus was God who came in the flesh and dwelt amongst us. I mean, he was God, the creator of the world, and he came and he humbled himself. He became like us. It's crazy. He says it's something to be grasped or retained. We can't understand it. But what did he do? He stripped himself of all his privileges and rightful dignity. He stripped himself of all his rights. And what attitude must be in us? The one that was in Jesus, producing his kind of way of life, his kind of humility. You see, when you start thinking you've got rights... In your homes with the kids, all of a sudden kids have rights. Yeah, hello. Parents, now's your time to say, yes. It's true. And so all of a sudden they have an opinion. Now they must have an opinion, don't get me wrong, but sometimes their opinions are to the detriment of their lives. But oh, we got rights. Yes, I was going to say about the hidings now, but I'm on television live and I better not say anything, eh? Because our boys listen to you too, eh? Okay, let's just get off that one too before. I think this is a hard sermon tonight because I'm on the edge here. So, as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he, Jesus, became like man and he was born a human being like you and I. And after he had appeared in human form, listen what he did. He humbled himself still further and he carried that same obedience to even to this, to the extreme death, even the death of the cross. What an incredible, wonderful example of Jesus giving up his rights. You see, the negative side of humility is, yes, nie vloerlapnie. Jesus didn't become a walkover mat. He stood for what was right and what's righteous. And yet he was this humblest man. He set us a beautiful example in life. But we need the Spirit of God to lead us into this stuff that we're talking about. You know, I read this quote and I thought, this is so beautiful. Listen, humility, please hear this. Humility is royalty without a crown. Think about that. Yeah, that really just touched me. Humility is royalty without a crown. Jesus came. He could have worn his crown. He was the King of glory, the great I am, the Lord Almighty. This is a matter of interest. When he comes back, he's not coming back to be ridiculed, smacked, and be humbled. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming to judge in righteousness. But there was a time that he came and he humbled himself. And he expects you and I to live that kind of life. Yeah, I think that is so amazing. Humility is royalty without a crown. Hey, check me. I look at what I got. I drive this and I look at this and I got the bucks and I'm the main money. And who do you know? No, I know him and I him and you name drop. You know the stories. Main money, you know. No. We give up our rights. Amen. Here's another one. The world's perception of pride. Seek to clear yourself of blame at all costs. It's excuse. Who did it? Isn't that, eh? Isn't that exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden? Hey, eh? When the snake, you know, Lord says to Adam, who did it? It didn't take long. There was only another chick with him. He says, it was Eve. That woman you gave me out of my rib. Check what you make me do. It's her. That whole spirit of deceit had fallen in. That same thing that Satan came and did. Exactly that same attitude. To seek, to clear yourself of blame and all costs. And what does the spirit of humility say this? Wait on God to lift you up. Isn't that this beautiful? Listen, it's 1 Peter 5 verse 6. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, what will happen? And in good time, what will he do? He will lift you up. You don't have to be lifted up. If you're right and you're walking in righteousness, God will lift you up. If you've messed up and you've repented and you've come to him, let me tell you something, he will lift you up and he will honor you. That's our incredible, awesome, amazing, wonderful God. Humility is the only true wisdom by which we prepare our minds for the possible changes of life. Because let me tell you, pride will kill any man's progress. Jy sal nie geestelik groei nie as jy trots is in jou lewe. It will destroy you. Only the humble will grow. Do you know why Christians don't grow? Because we're full of pride. We are. Het jy gehoor wat hy van my gesê het? Puffed up. You see no screw up, David? I remember my dad had them. They gooi like little thing here, and then it goes, hur, hur, hur. And then they got like, and they had like a fantail. And then like, the poor thing can't get around. And so you're so full of pride, you can't get around. People are looking at you, they're laughing at you, they're just sick as prideful sausage. You don't even realize it. Yeah, really, we don't even realize it when we're being stupid like that. Really, we don't. We don't recognize it. Amen. Sure. Hallelujah. Seek to praise yourself. Listen, the world's perception of pride says, seek recognition and praise for yourself. And it's like that at the office. You're sitting there, you're not working. Yeah, the boss comes in. Yes. What can I do for you, sir? Yeah, lekker, when the boss is out. Lekker slap here. No. Everything you do, and I said that last week, Colossians 3:23, Mazda 3:23. Remember that car? The Oakland Mazda 3. The younger generation don't know that. Mazda 3:23 was a car. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord and not for man. And that's why it's so important. Self-recognition and praise for yourself. Always looking for, check what I've done. Dropping, name dropping. What have I done? What am I doing? You know, we're always seeking those recognition stuff. And let me tell you something, that's all based in pride. Why are you saying that? Amen? Are you hearing me? Let praise only come from others. Why does the Bible say this? Proverbs 27 verse 2. Don't praise yourselves, let others do it for you. And so if nobody's praising your stert, bly stil. Because maybe what you've done doesn't need praise yet. Because you're too trots. The world's perception of pride. Here's another one. Continually comparing yourself with others. It was so beautiful. Listening to Pierre tell us, was your uncle, eh? Cousin. And when he was saying it, I thought, yeah, if you only knew what was in my sermon, yeah. That kind of a backup. You see, you're a number 10 in Jesus' eyes. You don't have to compare yourself with others. Because continually comparing yourself with others, that's a prideful thing. That's a problem. Refuse useless comparisons. Listen what the scripture says here. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Paul says, not that we have the audacity to venture or to class or even to compare ourselves with someone who's exalting themselves and furnishing testimonials about themselves. He says, however, when they measure themselves they compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and they behave unwisely. You see, the thing is, in life, we must not be comparing one another with other people. So like I said early on, you look at someone and you think, oh, he's about a 4, and I'm like, you decide you're about a 6. And that's the thing. So now you don't change because you're like a little bit better than that, actually. You compare yourself. Or somebody's growing spiritually and you want to be like, don't compare. You know what our greatest comparison is? Jesus. So what about Jesus? If you can compare yourself to Jesus, dan sal jy vinnig agterkom hoe wat jy nog het om reg te maak in jou lewe. You know how much improvement you still do. But the problem is, people look at people and they say, oh, check there, check, he's failed and he's fallen and he's, and we compare all of the time. Amen. And the Bible says we must not compare with one another. And the last one, the world perception on pride says, it perceives humility as a weakness. If people are operating in humility, and it's so wonderful when you see a humble guy. Do you know that I've seen it in my life already, where people take total advantage many times of humble people. But you know why? They allow it. Because they don't believe they got rights. You know what? It's fine. You want me to do a little bit extra? I'll go a little extra mile for you. And people take advantage of that. But you know what? Praise God for humble people. Amen. You're hearing that. Perceives humility as a weakness, but the spiritual heart of humility, listen to this, it perceives humility actually as a strength. It really does. Humility is actually a strength, but the devil will tell you the other side of it. You see, when there's a weakness, he'll tell you, oh, look at you, you're a useless person. Listen to what Psalm 37 verse 11 says, but the meek, that same word is humble. He says, but the humble or the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Who will? The humble. Not the ones who think they've got a position. No, it doesn't work like that. If you're living with pride and not dealing with it and not walking in the worthy life and you're full of pride, God cannot use you. Listen to me. Because the moment you confront anybody and you come into conversations with people, they pick it up in your life. They pick it up in the way you speak. When you're going and you're sharing your faith with somebody, you've got to be careful how you speak to people. You don't speak down on people. And sometimes I find Christians, I hear them, they do that. They start talking about their car, their bike, or their home, or their business. And then the poor ugly's got none of that stuff, and then he feels like a real ant, and you feel like, yeah, it's like, now I'm talking into those ugly's life. No, you come and humbly talk to people. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? I hope the Holy Spirit is talking to us here. But we need to hear that. This is what James 4 verse 6 says. He gives us, oh, I love this. He gives us more grace. Who knows we need more grace? Say more grace. He gives us more grace. And you know why God gives us more grace? You know why we need more grace? For what's about to come now. He says that is why Scripture says God opposes the proud. He does what to the proud? He opposes the proud. The moment you rise up with pride, God is opposed to you. God hates pride. He really does. Just go read the Scriptures. He says, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you want to walk in God's blessing? Kill pride in your life. And you'll just open doors for great favor and great blessing to flow in your life. Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, and here it is. I hate pride and arrogance, says the Lord. There it is. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 16 verse 5. He said, the Lord does what? Despises the proud. Unfortunately, have you ever wondered why people can be so on fire for God, so enthusiastic for Jesus, and they're burning and they're committed and they got a zeal about them, and then all of a sudden they become lukewarm, unproductive, and then they sort of just fade away from spirituality? Just listen to this. Yeah, might be the reason. Listen to this. Proverbs 15 verse 25. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud. Because if you continue in pride and you don't deal with pride in your life, God begin to tear that house down. And you know what? Why God will do that to you is so that you can become humble, so that you can not stumble. And so that you can walk into glory and not miss it because of an arrogant, prideful attitude. That's what Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride goes before, say before. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Haughty simply means arrogant, and a hoogmoedige gees. That's what it says. So pride goes before destruction. So when does destruction come? After pride has taken place. So if I've got pride, guess what's going to happen next? Destruction. And so many people are walking in this in their lives, defeated because of pride in their lives. You know, Proverbs 11 verse 2 says this, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with a humble, he gives us wisdom. Comes shame with a proud. Yes, and when I wrote this down, I thought, this is so true. Because when I look at the world, and I look at the political world, and I look at what's happening in the world, and I see this in Christians' lives, listen to this. This is a profound statement. There are some people who would rather be the head of nothing than the tail of something. Let me say that again, because you've got to hear this. There are people who would rather be the head of nothing than the tail of something. I want to be the... I'd rather be the head of nothing. I'd rather be the main manner and think I'm the main manner full of pride than just go and help out here in this little thing. It's beneath me to do that, Pastor. Don't ask me to do that. Listen, that's pride in its greatest form. I would rather help in a little thing. I'd rather clean toilets and have clean toilets in the church over here than have to come up here and stand and be the main out to preach or whatever people think it is. Are you? I think the Holy Spirit spoke now. When Jesus would do it, stop. I'll let it just sink in and I'll have a municipal sherry. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise God. They say pride hides a man's faults to himself, but magnifies them to everyone else. That's the problem with pride. It hides your faults from you, but everybody else sees it. How many times, and I asked you, have you seen a humble person? Have you seen a proud person? How many people know in your life you've met a proud, other than the oak in the mirror? Okay. But someone else. I know proud people. You talk to them, you can see it. The moment you start talking to them, yes, I'll tell you something new. You someone know, bro. This oak's he's a rich oak, and he's got a car, and he's got a house, and he's got a boat. He's got a ship, and he's got all the stuff. Unfortunately, that's it. You know, there's this most amazing event that takes place in the Bible now. I'm just going to read the scripture to you, but you all know the Rehoboam, the king who took over Israel. And he took over and he began to reign. And he reigned and he did as his dad did. And then sin came in and then they messed up. He messed up completely. And there was a crowd called the Shishak. And sounds like big trouble that day, like a serious shack. Yeah, I don't know why they got these names in the Bible. It's got to be Hebrew. It's not Afrikaans. But so these dudes, they and they come and they attack Rehoboam and they attack Israel and they're going to just take him out. And so the prophet comes and he says, "Hey, God says you better humble yourselves, otherwise you've got trouble here." Listen to this. He says, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, this was the prophet, since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but I will soon give them deliverance. Can you see? Humility brings God into action. Pride pushes God off. And they were so prideful, they were about to be destroyed. But you see, when humility came in, God, they got God's attention. You want God's attention in your life? Try being humble. That is the problem with our lives. I'm just gonna ask you a few questions tonight, and you can answer them. You don't put up your hand. You don't have to say anything. Just in your own mind, the test of true humility. I'm just gonna read them. They're up there, so we'll just go through them quickly. Just a simple yes or no. You read it. Don't think. Do I do this? Don't be prideful. Okay. Just think about them for a moment. Here they are. Do you feel joy when others succeed and are honored? You're working over there. It's you now. It's your position. And you should be getting the promotion. And then they give it to... Waar's Frikkie vanavond? Say nie hierdie. Then they give it to Frikkie. You see, Frikkie's not yet tonight. He's in. He took the promotion. The sausage. This is why he's not yet tonight. But so, and then you say, oh, Lord Jesus, bless Frikkie. Hey, you're so dik dat Frik die ding gekry het. Hey, do you feel joy when they succeed? Do you honestly and openly admit sin? Do you honestly and openly admit sin? Because pride will prevent it. Let me tell you that. It will. Do you seek truth from others regarding your weaknesses? If somebody talks into your life, what do? Do you make excuses like I said about the world's perception? Pride, or do you say, you know what? I need to change. Can I just say this, Christians? If you want to learn one thing very quickly, if somebody criticizes you, don't jump up your perky because that's pride. Say to yourself, maybe I need to change something. Hello? Are you hearing me? Because that's a problem. Our natural instinct is not to take criticism for weaknesses. We oppose it. We don't want to hear that stuff. Do you accept criticism graciously? Do you pursue godliness in all that you do? And lastly, do you turn all your worry and anxiety and concern over to the Lord? If you felt you could answer yes for most of these questions, and your answers were yes, you might want to take a good look at your life, because I think you failed the humility test. Think about that tonight. Oh, I love this statement. Listen to this. Swallow your pride regularly. It's non-fattening. Isn't that beautiful? Pride or humility is a choice that we make. Both will have consequences in our lives. And you know, many of us that are sitting here tonight are having to put up with the consequences of pride in our lives. If we will just come to that place and say, Lord, help me to walk in humility before you. Because God shows grace to the humble, but he opposes the pride. James 4 verse 10, I want to remind you, the Bible says this. What does it say? Humble yourselves. That's what it is. It can and only be done through a humble life if you want to give glory and honor to the King of glory. A humble life will bring him honor and glory. You see, the world teaches us something else. Satan wants us to be full of pride. And as long as he can keep you in pride, he will keep you from being effective. He will keep you from walking in the fullness that God has for your life. May God really help us tonight. I hope you've heard something specific tonight. Amen. Come, let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you tonight because, Lord, within each one of us, there is a level of pride. Even when we ask these questions, Father, and we're rudely honest with ourselves, we come to the understanding that we really need to be looking at pride that is so easily growing in us still. So I just want to intercede for each and every one of us, for everyone that is watching now by way of the media, that you, by your mercy and grace, will you say, Lord, you give more grace for those that walk humble. Lord, where there's pride in our lives, what we've spoken about tonight, Father, for whatever it is that is causing us to not walk in the victory that you have for us, to walk worthy, that's messing up our lives because of pride. Would you help us, Father, to be dealing with those things daily? Come and help us, Father, through the wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit. Give us sensitive ears to hear when the Spirit reminds us that we're being prideful. And let us be immediate listeners and repenters of the wrong way of thinking and the wrong way of life. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and love toward us. Thank you, Father, that you don't give a word like this, Lord, to make us feel guilty. You want us better. And that's why you speak to our lives, because you love the humble. And you bring peace and joy, as your word says, to the humble. We thank you for your grace tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're all there.